This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Troy and Hurling Show with me, Michael Verney. And this week I'm joined once again by Eddie Brennan and John Milan to look back on a helter-skelter opening weekend of championship action. John, I know you were in Cusack Park yesterday. Just set the scene for us even before the game. I was listening on the radio. You could hear the atmosphere. I know that's a strange thing to say. You could hear what was about to erupt over the following, you know, hour and a half down there. What was it like down there? An amazing recovery from Limerick coming from nine down. Just set the scene for us in Ennis.
Well, I left the half eight yesterday morning. I said I'd go up to Ennis nice and early, and they were queuing outside the front, the gates at 11:30. To get in, there was supporters. Jeez, the ground was nearly a third full by, I'd say, nearly 12:15. The atmosphere around the place was just electric. You know, just, I suppose, the weather added to it, the colour, the razzmatazz. You just got the feel that you were just going to be in for a cracker. And I thought that's what we got. I thought the game lived up to all the hype. For me, I thought Limerick, they came out of the blocks quickly. I was actually watching the Limerick warm-up, but I said, Jesus, you know, they look fine. And the one lad I was talking to Martin Kiley, obviously Martin Kiley, a Limerick man, he's involved with RTE. And he said to me, he said, look at Darrell Hegarty. And I was looking at Hegarty and saying, Jesus, I could even see, looking at his legs weren't heavy. He looked in serious shape. And I'm actually, Maron turned around and said, he is primed. And I felt Limerick were primed. And they came out of the blocks quickly. Were very good for the first 10 minutes. And then Clare kind of just got a grip and things in the middle third. What was very interesting yesterday in was Clare caused Limerick untold bother by their movement in their half forward line. They're moving up top. I mean, Dave Fitzgerald, Duggan, Reedy, they never stood still. And what they done to Limerick for large parts of that match, they nearly done a Limerick on themselves. They suffocated the life out of Limerick in that middle third. And yeah, Limerick or Clare were brilliant. Limerick, the worrying thing for Limerick in that first half, they were wasteful of an awful lot of opportunities, scoring opportunities. I think the wide tally was 9 or could have been possibly 10 at halftime. And the free count, I think that's the one thing that will worry John Kiley going forward. We've seen it time and time again where they come along, they lead with the arm, you know, sometimes lead with the hurley across the neck or go high. And the free count was quite high in that first half. And Aidan McCarthy was flawless in the frees. I think he got seven from seven. Shane O'Donnell was immense. He was really motoring. And then, you know, it just went into the second half and you're saying, you know, you're hearing the aftermath, some of the talk that, you know, with Garrod Hegarty and even Kiley and talking the aftermath, that they weren't panicking at halftime, that they were quite content in how things were going. They were creating the opportunities. But for me, looking at some of the players, I'd say they definitely got the hairdryer treatment. at half time because some of their players just were way off and weren't at it at all. And it was much, much the same for about 10, 15 minutes of that second half. You couldn't have foreseen Limerick pushing on and winning this game. I think the lead was stretched out to 9 when Mark Rogers got that score. And I think a little element of, I wouldn't say complacency, but I'd say a little element crept in that, you know, from Clare that, you know, almost that you got a sense that, geez, the job is nearly done. You know, we'll get TK onto the field. We'll get a bit of game time into the legs. We'll get him ready for the following week. And then I think Clare had about two or three opportunities to stretch the lead, out and to put Limerick out of sight. And then Kyle Hayes, they got a lot of joy down the left wing. Kyle Hayes started to bomb forward. He was linking in with Keane Lynch. He was linking in with Conor Boylan. Next thing, I think they got two or three scores in a row. All of a sudden, then it was back to six. And then they got the gift. The goal was a gift, lads. I mean, even when it was down to 6 points, you felt even that the Clare supporters were still comfortable with themselves. Even the Limerick followers were thinking, you know, Jesus, they weren't making as much noise. And then, you know, Burns, his radar was off with some of the frees, and he most certainly mishit that free, and then it went straight into the goal. Probably a flick from Galan. And then you know yourselves, lads, goals energise teams, and that's most certainly what happened yesterday. That goal energised Limerick. It energised their supporters. It energised the players. They went up then, and I think they got the next point. Then Donegal Dolic got in for the goal, and looking back in the day, Eva Quilligan possibly should have saved it. And as Brian Lowe touched in the aftermath of the match, you know, concentration levels dipped. They lost their focus. They lost their shape, and Limerick drove on and won the game. And you know, you could see in the aftermath of the match how much it meant to the Limerick players. You know, their subs were out. You know, they were, you know, congratulating one another. You could see even after the aftermath of the match, the unity of the Limerick panel as a whole. But most certainly, from a Limerick point of view, the Limerick players, John Kiley, they'll be delighted to get out of Ennis with 2 points, knowing that they were probably at 60, 70% of what they're usually at. On the flip side of that, Clare will be absolutely kicking themselves because they will feel that they done the majority, most of the hurling for what, probably two-thirds of the game. Possibly should have came away with the 2 points, and there they are now. They're left scratching their heads today, probably last night and today, wondering why they didn't pick up the 2 points, and now they face into a titanic battle down in Cork on Saturday night.
Ned, just on Limerick, this was some Lazarus-like recovery, realistically. 1-15 to 9 down. Look, beaten all ends up. What did they outscore them then? Was it 3-5 to 3 points or something like that? What a turnaround. What a turnaround. What a team. Like, to look dead and buried like that and resurrect, it was something else.
Yeah, and I suppose I was listening to the interviews afterwards and Hegarty saying what they're saying. And look, that's grand there and then. He probably could say, look, we kept our focus. I tell you, there was a lot of Limerick lads, and I guarantee you, if there was ever doubts crept in, and I think that makes the point of why they were so celebrated together afterwards, because the boys coming in off the bench made a huge response, made a huge impact. And that's the way these boys, they're saying this, it's what they're all about. But don't tell me for 1 second that they weren't all doubting. They had, I guarantee you, Mike Casey went off. Keane Lynch, the match was passing him by in the first half. And then when he dropped back, he just found his mojo again, little passes. But, you know, we talked, John mentioned Hegarty. Hegarty was immense yesterday. Even the few points he got in the first few minutes there, lads, they were savage. And he looked really dialed in. He wanted the ball. But if,
in fairness to Ed, you've been calling for him to go to in around the edge of the square for a while too.
We discussed this, Jesus, over Hurling Club breakfast one morning. We had a good chat with Kieran about it and putting him inside and all this. And I just said, if people start to analyse Limerick and they have up and down and still they get the job done, but this, what we've seen from Kiely and Kinnaird is occasionally these curve balls that the opposition don't deal with. And straight away, you know, you're going, oh God, you know, for Limerick, you suddenly now have 6'5" standing beside Adam Hogan or you know, or Paul Flanagan, who you're going, oh God, this is not good. And then what did Limerick do? They kind of cleared out that side. And even the one for the goal, like, how in the name of God does a forward get that much space? And then for Hegarty not to even take the point, the easy point that was there. But just a little thing on the defending there, lads. Like, we talk about concentration, and this is what, you know, we've seen teams put Limerick on the ropes, but not deliver they allow them oxygen. And next thing you turn around and, like, even a small thing, like, Cleary is wrestling with Galan all day long, and it's the ref has to warn him a couple of times and he books him. But, like, because it seems like the significant moments, right? Keane Lynch's hook in the first half when it looks like Clare are going to finish a goal. That moment, right? Then there's the little afters when Reedy gets pulled to the ground or he wrestles and the free gets moved up. And then Dermot Burns slips as he's hitting it. But my point that I'm making is, when you talk about concentration and seeing a job out, who in Clare defence was calling out the organisation on that free? Because you just don't know. And they were all as if, ah yeah, Burns is going to hit this, it's going to go over the bar. And like, when you look at the height that ball came in, I mean, if Cleary, and it's easy for me to say this now, but I'd always be of the mindset that one defender has to have overall responsibility for attacking a ball when it's dropped into the square, whether it's a long free, whether it's just basic setup on a free, just housekeeping. And like, if Cleary is not wrestling with Galan there, and maybe he goes and attacks that ball, and that's easy for us to say now. But my point is, they just switched off. Suddenly, he mishits a ball, and either Quilligan is not equipped to deal with it, or Cleary, and it's just a bit of messing going on. It creates enough of a doubt, and suddenly you have that kind of scuttery goal that just takes the energy out of you. But yeah, look, overall, Lazarus, I genuinely, looking at Limerick after the first 10 minutes, and what I said about the chances they created, I thought they looked off. They looked in bother, and you kind of went, I said, Jesus, maybe this is the day that, you know, they're going to just lack energy. And they have 3 matches to come back. But by God, you know, once Clare stopped doing it, lads. And look, we discussed this last week, the Tony Kelly situation. And yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And it's, you know, it goes one way or the other. It doesn't matter now. They just couldn't get him on the ball. And that's what maybe Clare needed, was to change up that match tactically. And we talked about it before as well. Limerick are the masters of an intervention. Did Clare need an intervention once they got a goal and once they got back to 3 points to stop that match and reassess and get everyone, you know, and that's a hard thing to do now. But either way, it doesn't matter. And you just turn around and go, just when you feel we've heaped enough praise on these Limerick boys, you just give them more again. And that was savage, yesterday. That was just absolutely incredible, because they had a fair throwdown in front of them.
But Eddie, you've been here before, and so have you, Vernie. Like, if you can see the goal where the opposition have really gone out of their way to get the goal and really worked hard for the goal, there's sometimes an acceptance in that, right? We've conceded that, right? We regroup. You know, we'll reset, we'll go again. But when you give away cheap goals, psychologically you're saying, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, like, yeah, you know, they're daggers. And like, you know, when you're in such a commanding and comfortable position, to get hit with that sucker punch, that can devastate a team. And that had a massive, massive knock-on effect in how Clare hurled the last 15 minutes of that match.
We come back to Clare in 1 second. Ned, how much of a worry is it for everybody chasing Limerick that they were at about 60% at different stages yesterday, giving away soft frees, you know, poor wides, maybe lacking energy in certain positions? Lads hadn't played in a month. They only got into it maybe in the last quarter and they still won. How worrying is that for, you know, their next 3 months for opponents and even beyond? Because it looks like there's another 20, 30% in the tank. And then you look at Conor Boylan coming in, changing the game. Adam English coming in, changing the game. Sean Finn coming in and doing well in just his second game back. Do you know what I mean? Like, it looks like
yeah.
there's big improvement to come from Limerick, you'd say, too.
Well, it looks like it. They don't need big improvement. They just need another 5-7% will do them, like, at this rate, because I would have felt, from a psychological point of view, I think if Tip were coming to Limerick next weekend, and we've seen this historically with Tip and Limerick all down through the years, they seem to play better away from home. You know, Tip play well down in Limerick. Limerick are not afraid to go to Thurles. So if Limerick were coming into this match having been beaten, it gives Tip huge energy now to go after them. Whereas now the energy kind of pushes in through Limerick. Like, they're going to go, we have a chance now on Sunday to almost see ourselves through to the quarterfinals of the championship. We're 75 minutes away from probably being assured of, like, just say Cork and Clare were to go down next weekend and have a draw. Like, that's, if Limerick beat Tip, that's Limerick, you know, practically through to the quarterfinals, if not more. So the energy, the momentum flip that comes in Munster is just worlds apart. Like, you take, like, Brian Lowen this morning, I'd say he's looking at that video and he's going, and he said in his aftermatch, he was like, the defendant, he's probably sick at the lot of that. And yes, there was definitely at least one call for a square ball, but I don't blame Limerick. I don't blame Galan for that. That's not their problem. You take what's going. But yeah, for Limerick, I think it's when there might have been a little doubt, you know, Willie Dunhue taking off, you know, Galan taking off at the end, the harm was done. But you look at it there, the lads that they pulled off, and yes, Mike Casey injured. I thought Sean Finn was immense. I thought he was so steady. Once he got going and got the first half out of the way, in the second half in particular, just watched a few times when Clare were putting the bombs down and had worked so effectively, Peter Duggan catch a ball. There was only one Limerick lad going up competing, and Finn invariably picked up a load of breaking ball. One pass, another pass, and next thing Adam English was bringing it on. They were just finding their men then. They seemed to be able to find the space, and that Clare had done so well. Like, the Clare tackling in that middle third, Duggan and Co, like, that's what gave Clare the platform. And they just stopped doing it, or whether Limerick dropped back another. Limerick seemed to just get more numbers. They pulled the Clare half-back line right into midfield once they got that first goal, and then they just seemed to kick on from there. And it was probably the time of the match when Clare maybe needed to mix up their puck outs and start going a little bit short. But like John said there, there was a couple of really good chances to make it. When they got it to 9, there was a chance for 10. David Reedy had one. You know, they just, that was the ones to maybe, once you get to 10, maybe 11, and then get in for a goal, that might be it. But look, in fairness to Limerick, and like you said, Mick, I agree with you, there's a bit more to go. Maybe not. We're saying, you know, you're saying 60%. I know what you mean, but I think it's, they don't need to. And they don't need to probably, that maybe was 70-80% for them, because that's where everyone else had to go to take them on. But they definitely weren't flowing. And that's the way it's going to be for the year, I think, with them. They may not flow in every match, but they have the artillery and the squads to come at you from all angles.
Mull, where do Clare go from here? They had Limerick, they didn't have them on the ropes. They had them nearly on one knee, and they just weren't able to get them to the ground. And, like, they scored 3 points in the last, 20 minutes, I think, of play. Like, where do they go from here? How difficult will it be to pick things up? Like, this is the question mark I had kind of on, you know, the preview show was, everything was going nice and rosy, and now it's the opposite. Whatever the opposite of rosy is, that's how things are going now. Just because they're on the back foot, they have to go to Cork next week. How do they pick things up?
Well, for me, it's the worst way to ever win a match. I mean, you have to contrast, you know, both sides that are going to meet next Saturday, Cork and Clare. So, you know, the manner in which Cork lost yesterday and the manner in which Clare lost yesterday. So, if you're going into this week, you're asking the question, like, what camp would you rather be in? If you're a manager, if you're Pat Ryan, or if you're Brian Lowen in regards to picking lads up, you know, I suppose Pat Ryan is going to be going from the angle of, you know, lads underperforming, you know, not throwing in a shift, you know, going back to the old feelings of old. So I think there'll be an awful lot of anger there amongst Cork in you know, trying to get a performance next Saturday. From a Clare point of view, I think it'll be something similar like Galway last year, you know, where Henry had a job of picking up Galway going into the All-Ireland quarter-final. that was kind of something similar along those lines where, you know, you feel that you put so much effort into it. You hurled so well for large parts of the match, but yet you came up short. And I just think from Brian Lowen, I think today you got to dust him down, get him back in tomorrow, get a bit of recovery into him. I don't think probably they'll do a whole lot this week. And I just think you've got to just build him up, take the positives out of it and say, look, lads, we are still in a very, very good place. And if you're Brian Lowen, the management team, the way you'll be saying it to the Clare players this week is that if we can bring the same level of performance that we brought for 40 minutes, 45 minutes of that game into Saturday night for the majority of the match, we're going to be in a fantastic position of winning the match. Because I thought for large parts of that match, I thought they were excellent.
They got so many things right. Yeah, that's the frustrating part, that you end up with no points after delivering so many kind of telling blows, you know?
I suppose that's the thing, Mull, is, and Mick, you have to look at it from the point of view, right? They can't... Analysing that match is gone. You can't analyse that match this week. It's flushed. It's gone. You just have to, you know, you're not going to go near it because you're now looking at your strategy and your game plan for Cork. It might be slightly different than Limerick. You know, and I spoke about this before, I said, like, with the nature of it, you probably get to do very little review. I think you can touch on two or three key areas that let us down and say, look, lads, we need to watch this. This is our big fix for next weekend. But you can kind of go back and really go in depth into that. You just have to identify two or three key areas that say, this is what we fix. But you're now looking at a different opposition. And like you said, all is not lost. Like, I mean, come out and get the win next weekend. You're back in the game, like your head is up, but like it's just a very hard thing to do because it's just how long the players individually dwell on that and what you do with them in this space time is key to that. How you manage that for the week, like little things is less more is, you know, in terms of talk and an input. And they're the things that Lowen has to look at because himself, he's you could see by him underneath he was pissed off, you know, and very disappointed for his players because, like I said, they've done so much so well, but like it's a different animal they're facing in Cork. And also, lads, what's significant all along now, right, the fitness is in these lads, but 7 days again, and if it's weather's like that this week, it's just suddenly shifted from kind of very cold and chilly weather now to being quite warm, and that does affect fitness, lads. That does affect the reserves and how you know, if it's a high octane match, it just takes that little bit more out of you and it takes a bit more to recover.
Even emotionally, Ned, I wonder what sort of energy that would have taken out of him yesterday. Like, been in that position and looking like this is going to be a famous win in Ennis, to all of a sudden the ball is kind of well punctured, do you know what I mean? And there's all the energy and all the enthusiasm and all the positivity is kind of sucked out.
But even a small thing, right? Just, and again, I'm looking at Limerick and they don't generally look at the opposition too much. But I'm sure Limerick would have been looking at that match and saying, right, this is what we want to do. What's going to happen in this match? Are we going to be under the pump? Absolutely. These boys are good or whatever. We're going to find ourselves struggling. We're going to find ourselves gasping for air. And we just have to live with that. We just stick at it. We stick at it. The subs are coming in. You know, are they going to bring on Tony Kelly? Right. Do we make a point of saying when they bring him on that we're going to rise to the challenge? Do you know what? There's them little kind of things going on in their head. So it looked as if it has, you know, the other effect that Limerick really just got going. And unfortunately for Clare, they couldn't get Tony on the ball.
I think part of it was as well, I do think Clare got quite narrow and I think they invited Limerick onto them a small
bit
too.
They went through. They absolutely went through.
Like I didn't see Barry Nash getting on the front foot for the first 50 minutes of the game. Then all of a sudden he was taking balls on and other lads were taking balls on and there was just maybe a bit more space. They withdrew a small bit, got a bit narrow, even like, as you said, they left that right channel free for Hegarty and it was like there was acres there. It was crazy kind of to see it. But I was down in Walsh Park yesterday. I even got the sense before throwing and I knew there was something brewing. I don't know if I think your Braveheart speech must have had a bit of an effect, but a couple of things, Mull. There was no sign of a sweeper yesterday. It was man on man and like Waterford wanted to attack and wanted to get their big players on the ball in around the goals. They wanted to create goal opportunities. Like, it was a fantastic performance. It was just what the doctor ordered, realistically, for Davy and the Dacia.
In Davy we trust, Michael.
You didn't say that last week.
Well, I'll tell you something. I 90% predicted that this was gonna play out the way I thought it might play out. I just thought it was just set up beautifully for Waterford last week. Everyone was writing them off, you know, and some of the predictions out there were just crazy, like, you know, predicting that, you know, as I touched on, that Cork were going to win by a double digit score, that Cork were, you know, going to win by 5-6 points, and, you know, to write Waterford off so cheaply to that, like, you know, that can hurt, like, and like, you know, if I was taken back by it, I can only imagine what Davy and the team would have been taken back by it. And I think it was just set up for Waterford. It was perfect. You know, everyone writing them off. Everyone at Waterford were at home. And you could see it, how pumped up they were. And we touched on it last week. You know, it was D-Day for Davy. Like let's call a spade. I touched on it. Like, we can't go away from it. It was D-Day, and he probably put a bit of pressure on himself by saying, look, the minor league, our folks on the championship, judges on the championship. And the thing for me, lads, is that, you know, if Waterford lost to Cork, I believe that I don't think we would recover. But for me, that win yesterday, I think it's a monumental win. And I would think that win yesterday is probably the best, probably most important win that Waterford have had, I'd say, within the last seven, 8 years. Because as a whole, the county, it's at a low ebb. You know, we're not winning underage. You know, results haven't gone away. You know, the round robin the last couple of years hasn't gone our way. You know, relegated in the league. But you have to give massive, massive kudos to Davy. All right, the easiest thing for Davy would have been yesterday, and it was to be so stubborn to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to take on board what people are saying outside of our bubble. And he didn't. As you touched on there, Michael, he structured the team right. They committed more bodies going forward. And as I touched on Thursday, marry that in with you know, being written off and, you know, being pumped up. It was just perfect for Waterford yesterday. And my two daughters had the game, and they said it was so lovely to go and watch the game. And I watched back the game. They were lovely to watch yesterday. It was so entertaining to watch. And that's what Waterford supporters have been crying out for the last, you know, year and a half. What they brought to the table yesterday. And I would just say to Davy, and I touched in the paper last week, or Saturday, I continue going down that route. Keep having it go. Waterford supporters, as I touched on, if they come up short, will accept losing, and he'll still be lauded. He'll still be lauded, and there'll never be any criticism once the team goes out and have a go. Now, obviously, they're playing Tipperary in 2 weeks' time. You know, he's going to have to revamp it a small bit. But I wouldn't deviate a whole lot from what he brought to the table yesterday. Now, am I shocked that Waterford won yesterday? Absolutely not. And I think Stephen Bennett touched on it, you know, in the aftermath. It didn't shock him. It didn't come as a surprise to me because, you know, even when I looked at that Cork team being named Thursday night, Friday night, I said, Jesus, I said Waterford have a fantastic chance. And it's not being any disrespectful to some of the Cork players, but like, when you've three lads over the age of 30 going out and they're 50% of your forward line, and your full back is going into his 30s as well. And I touched on it as well, that some of these Waterford players in the past, they've beaten them in two league finals. They've beaten them in the Munster Championship semi-final. They've beaten them in All-Ireland semi-final. So, you know, they become accustomed to getting one over on this Cork team. So for me, it's not a major surprise. It's not a major shock. It's fantastic. The feel-good factor is back. As I touched on last week, we win this game, we won't have any bother selling tickets for the next game, and they won't. There'll be a huge demand for tickets. But there's a but. There's going to be an awful lot of twists and turns in this Munster Championship. And for me, I think the next game is a dangerous game for Waterford. I really, really do. It'll be interesting now. They can sit back. They can watch Tipperary and Limerick. Now, look, all the talk is what's the Limerick game going to take out of Tip. But you have to remember, Waterford went up and they done a job on Tipperary last week. So. Last year. So you're going to have the likes of Liam Cal, Mikey Bevins. They're going to be coming down with the bit between their teeth. And expectation levels now are going to go, are rising now, where it's the flip of the coin now, where instead of going in, being underdogs, being written off, and it's nearly like a free shot where you go and say, right, we're going to throw everything at Cork. Now it's the psychological twist on this, where Waterford are going to go into the next game, probably favourites. You know, you're hearing all the talk now. Oh, Jesus, we'll beat Tipperary. We're going to be on 4 points. We should beat Tip. Let me tell you, I think probably out of the four games Waterford are going to play, I'm predicting their next game is going to be their toughest game.
Molly, you just mentioned there about Davey putting pressure on himself. Like a minute after the final whistle yesterday, he was gone down the tunnel. He jogged the whole way across the pitch. He looked like a man absolutely exhausted. I'd say he'd put woeful pressure on himself to get a result, and I'd say he put every ounce of energy he had into getting a result. But Ned, I'll just throw it at you there. When you look at the personnel that was back yesterday and lads that were missing, like Conor Prunty, Irla Daly did a job on Patrick Horgan. Now he did a job on him. Tadhg Dabhurcha like played 75 minutes in his first competitive game in 12 months. Jamie Barron won 3. A brilliant goal after 90 seconds set the tone. Caleb Lyons back flying it. Stephen Bennett back flying. Desi Hutchinson hitting freeze. I don't think any of us saw that one coming. That was a mad one. Mikey Kiley flying it. Jack Prendergast flying it. Like, in fairness, they were gutted as regards with injuries throughout the league. But when they have everybody and they're humming like that, they are a fair force.
Oh, they are, absolutely. And look, I've said it before, I'm slow to give the Clare man credit, but you have to give him credit for what he asked people to be patient. He told people to judge us in the championship, and lo and behold, day one, they've delivered something big. Albeit, again, like I said there, I couldn't understand last week how Cork were being made the favourite they were, and I thought yesterday justified it, because they were blown out of water. Waterford engaged the game physically. They played the match on their terms. Tadhg Dabhurcha, that's some way to come back into a team having spent months out injured. Like, I mean,
Achilles is a career ender as well. Ender.
I'd have had little. I want to qualify this when I say it. Tadhg Dabhurcha has been a sweeper for Waterford all through. Like, Derek had him as the sweeper, and he wasn't. And I'd have questioned, right, his ability to actually go toe to toe with a fella. Like, I'm talking Ken and Niall McCarthy, that type of thing. Jesus, Tadhg Dabhurcha just dealt with everything that came through his way there yesterday. He just held that middle. You could see the briefing was, we cannot let Cork come running at us. I don't want Fitzgibbon. I don't want these lads. Could Jack or Barrett? And Barrett done well. He caused wreck there for a while. But like, you don't want Fitzgibbon or Coleman, these lads coming marauding up the field. They got it once there just after half time when they hit that purple patch. But after that, generally, the match was better. And that middle third, they just fought on their hands and knees. Like, I saw once, I think, a Waterford that dived in with his hands or kicked the ball away as they were lying. And that's what Championship hurling is about. And yeah, look, they got a little bit of luck. The black card for me, Pendergast had lost possession, so it's not a goal scoring opportunity. These things happen so fast. I think I feel sorry for Damien Catalan, because I think the two yellows he got, there's stuff going on like that wholesale. Like, a flick, right? Once upon a time, the tackle was, Mull, a flick and try get the ball. Now lads are openly slapping down across lads' arms. That is a commonplace tackle now. And yes, I agree with Don Loke what he said last night. Damien Catalan is on a yellow, so he can't do that. Fitzgerald done a bit of playing up, but that is the game, and you make your decisions, you make those decisions. That's what happens. They come at a cost sometimes. You get pinged from. I think it's harsh in the broader thing of what people are getting yellow cards for and what people are not getting yellow cards for. That's a consistency issue. But you can't take away from what Waterford just did. They were the better team throughout that match. They wanted it more. They were, you know, they stuck to the plan. And I'd say Davey had probably, you know, to convince the players this is the way to go. And just quickly, on the puck out, like we talked about this, lads rushing here and rushing there from the backs. Like at times yesterday, he got it right in that they'd pull one side and then a wing back would just be making a run. He'd dovetail back and he'd find it with the sharp puck out. I could see him in the second half. He was roaring up at the lads. He wanted two in the 21. And outside him along the 45, there was five Waterford lads. What was that doing? It's kind of, it's like the art of war. You make the opposition think you're doing things. So there was a bit of that going on. And what he had yesterday, the same as in the Clare match a little bit, the high catches back, lads. Mikey Kiley, how many did he catch yesterday? Pendergast caught a few for Jamie Barron's goal. Where did they go? Route one straight down the middle on top of Joyce. So they mixed it up nicely. And look, you have to say his game plan worked, but the players, more than anything, they executed for him. They executed, and as a group, they were better yesterday than the Cork were as a group.
It's set up nicely now for Waterford, as you mentioned in your column on Saturday in Independent, Mull. As a poker player, they're after getting pocket aces. They had two home games in a row and a break in between. Like, it's perfect for them. If they were out again next weekend, you'd say, geez, will they be able to hit those highs again and get to those levels again? But now they're the ones that are coming in off the break, and Tip have to throw everything at Limerick the week before. So it is perfect for them, and that's a Saturday night game as well. So I think there's only 6 days for Tip to recover.
And you know the beautiful thing about it, right? If I hear, I think what it puts to bed now is this Welsh Park. Waterford don't play well in Welsh Park, and there's been enough negativity around it, but when you hear that talk that, oh, Jesus, Waterford can't win a Welsh Park, you know, Welsh Park doesn't suit Waterford. Welsh Park was fabulous, yes. Waterford had to win in two of their last three games in Welsh Park. So I think that it puts that to bed as well. And most certainly, I'll tell you something, Tipperary won't like coming down to Welsh Park in 2 weeks' time. That's one sure thing. They won't come down. But look, they're in a fantastic position. Fantastic position, as Eddie touched on. But they were, I was hearing noises, they were going well. I heard Portugal was going well. I was hearing that the Burke was flying it in training. You were hearing, like, look, they've been touching the ass, man. You hear all these stupid stories going around. Look, you would have had it, I would have had it in my time, you would have had it in your time. And, you know, I think and the majority of the time, an awful lot of people want to just make these things up for the sake of it.
Yeah.
You know, and even Limerick had it last year, but you know, the noises coming out of training is that they were going very, very well. And now, look, they find themselves in where they want to be after game one. They've Tipperary now, they've a break. They've Tipperary coming to town in 2 weeks' time. There'll be a massive crowd in Welsh Park. You know, if they're to beat Tipperary, that puts them on 4 points. You know, they'll have the head-to-head over Tipperary. They'll have the head-to-head over Cork. Then all of a sudden, you know, they can go up to Ennis, have a shot off a Clare. They can have, please God, Limerick might be qualified come the last round. And all of a sudden, you know what, lads? You could find yourselves very easily in a Munster final.
But isn't that what that would flip so quickly, John? Like the Munster Championship. And we said this last weekend. We talked about the heaven and hell aspect to it. But I think just on a quick one on that, I cannot wait for Waterford and Tip. It's going to be, there is going to be four flying in that. Sideline everywhere. Like, there's a lot of little subplots going on there. And I just think it tees it up to be a real, oh, geez, that's going to be spicy. Like, you know, you can imagine the atmosphere around the town and then up in Walsh Park with so much at stake. You know, particularly, just say Tip were to get a draw next weekend against Limerick or something like that, or get a result. Jesus, now you have, you know, something that not many would have seen. Hey, Tip and Waterford playing a match there to go top of the table in Munster. It'd be savage.
Yeah, there'll hardly be any finger wagging down in Watts Park the next day.
Oh, there'll be lots of it. No, it won't. It'll be Headlock City.
But Eddie, you look, you're an inter-county manager, lads. Who would in the life of me want to be an inter-county manager? Jesus, like you think of it, and how things can turn so quickly after one match. You think of it, Brian Lowen, you know, was coming into yesterday off the back of a league success, you know, in a comfortable position. Pat Ryan, I mean, was coming into yesterday, you know, everyone was talking up Cork, and now, you know, Davey was, you know, he probably finds himself in Davey's position where I'd say he probably didn't sleep last night. And now Davey's in a fantastic position. And I'd say most certainly for Pat Ryan, the honeymoon period is most certainly over, because you know yourself, you get that year, you have a bedding year, and then it's more or less year two. Everyone kind of says, well, right, something's going to have to happen in year two. And particularly in a county like Cork, where they demand success. So he's under enormous pressure going into Saturday. And likewise, Brian Lowen.
Just a quick one on Cork, Eddie. They were beating a goal, and they played with 13 at one stage, and obviously finished with 14 for the last 10 minutes or so. They put up a very good score, but like at times there was holes pierced in their defence at different stages. I can only recall one goal chance, and that was the one that they scored. And Pat Ryan was talking in the previous week, you know, about trying to get 3 or 4 goals per game. And like, they didn't get Huggy on the ball. Seamus Harney was surprised he was taken off, and he was taken off because
he wasn't happy.
Just after getting a point, and they had the sub made, I'd say, before he got the point. I'd always leave a fella on in that type of scenario. Kieran Joyce, there was a mad scenario, boys, in the second half where Kieran Joyce, the centre back, a ball broke under the stand, and he stayed with his man and hung to the sideline and left the whole middle through. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was very unlike him. But they have a home tie now, Eddie, next week. And like, as Pat Ryan said, like, they just have to get back on the horse. It's nearly all over if they don't get a result next Sunday.
It is, yeah. And what like, even their selection, you know, there was a few little eyebrows. Like, I can't understand why, to me, and again, it's easy to say this from the outside looking in, like, where was Jack O'Connor yesterday? 2 minutes into injury time, they decided to spring him. Like, he's a guy with wheels. It's what they needed yesterday. They needed someone to like, when Waterford were so strong defensively, they then needed to probably change it up, because they weren't able to find the pockets of space in front of Connolly. There was once or twice they got it. He got a point there in the second half, but the only time they opened up a channel of space in front of him, maybe once in the first half, but they weren't able to do that because the Waterford defence stayed nice and compact. But that's where you need, I think, you need Fitzgibbon and Cole, Jack O'Connor, running hard lines, breaking tackles. Like, Leanne floats very lateral, but he's they're shooting, then let him down yesterday as well. But look, this is... Oh, it's Cork, isn't it? Unfortunately, this is the Cork we've become accustomed to for the last few years. We can talk about potential until the cows come home. But what they hadn't yesterday compared to Waterford was they hadn't the steel. Waterford had the steel yesterday. And that's a kind of a Davy factor as well. Like, they were in their faces. They were celebrating everything. They were nudging lads, you know, and that's just being up for a championship match. And you'd say, look, the Cork team that me and John played against, they gave you as much steel as you wanted. Like, do you know what? They were able to go into the trenches and get that balance between being aggressive and controlled. Whereas Cork are just, I hate even, they're just not, they don't impose themselves enough on you. They will probably allow you to hurl a little bit. And yesterday, Waterford were very direct. Yeah, it's just a horrible situation that they find themselves in now. They have to get a result. And like, Jesus, like, the pressure as well. You're at home as well. It starts to get in on you. And have they been here before? Yes, they have. You know, so I wouldn't, like, I don't know, like, you'd be saying down the line, and I'm not going to certainly make this a drama and calling, but I'm not saying, you know, whatever, Pat Ryan, but it looks as if, you know, is it maybe in a year or two time, whatever happens, like, this has been made for Ben O'Connor down the line as the next Cork manager. And will he be that generation potentially down the line? But last little point, and he's been savage, but Hoggy just, he looks as if Mother Nature is catching up on him. He's just, do you know that saying, we've seen a few little glimpses from him yesterday, but not the Hoggy that we expect, like, not the fella that we've become so accustomed to over the last 10 years and we're spoiled. And he is a big age, but yesterday he just looked like the pace of the game he just couldn't seem to shake off his marker.
Yeah, with that, but Eddie, you've been there before. And when you hit that 30 bracket, say 32, 33, right? You were a speed merchant. My game was based on speed as well. Like, you get the ball, you drop the shoulder, you go straight for goal. Like, you look at Lahan, Harley, Hoggy, right? They might get the ball now, but they'll come on the outside, they'll tack over a point rather than having, you know, Connolly getting the ball. His immediate thought is, right, I'm going straight for goal. And I think possibly Cork need to inject another two or three of them. Robbie O'Flynn, you just touched on it. Jack O'Connor. Hayes, to be fair to him, for a big chap, he can move. He goes straight for goal. And I think, you know, the three lads, Harnedy, Hoggy, Lahan, they were great services for Cork, but most certainly, maybe possibly one, start one, but most certainly not two or three of them. I think they have to look at that, injecting that speed and those lads that only have one thing on their mind, and that's going straight for goal. And they have them. They have those players on the bench. They're there. They're there. Even the likes of, say, Ben Cunningham. Where's this Ben Cunningham? Like, he was shooting it up at under 20. He wasn't even in the panel yesterday. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting now for Pat Ryan and his management team in what way they're going to go about selecting this Cork team for the weekend.
Because I don't know about you boys, but I can't wait for next weekend. It just rolls week into week. But just on Leinster, Eddie, like a mad scenario down in Wexford Park, where Wexford looking complete control. I think it was 120-18 in the 72nd minute. And I don't know what it is that Dublin seemed to have over them, some sort of a little spell or something. But Dublin managed to come away with a result. Wexford haven't beaten them in Leinster Championship, I think, since 2018, I think. But like, what we're talking about contrasts and fortunes and heaven and hell. They've both come away with a point, but imagine the bounce in the Dublin squad, you know, coming into next week with all the players they've gotten back and got game time under their belt. And then imagine maybe there's a little bit less of a bounce, would say, in the Wexford camp. Like, but that was some result for Dublin to pull off when it really didn't look likely at the end.
Yeah, and like you said there, Michael, just we touched on it there with the Limerick goal and Clare. Like, I looked at that last goal, like, there was four Wexford lads there. Not one of them went for the ball. It was like as if, right, just quick grab a Dublin lad or just get, you know, and it broke lovely for Sullivan. But for Dublin, that could be just the kickstart. It could be like getting the kickstart of the car, because we were questioned. You know, we hadn't seen anything from Dublin to suggest that they were going to horse into this Leinster Championship. And now, like, it changes the dynamic. You know, Kilkenny, when they meet Kilkenny, like, they'll be looking at that as a match that they will try to get something out of. And if they could get something, then, you know, they could leave Frog Wexford. Like, but Keith Roster said in his interview, and you feel from, like, that, what a way to finish out a match. Like, that's just close it out. And they responded to the first goal by getting the points. And then, in fairness to Dublin, they just hit and hope and see what happens. But it could be
it's the gas, though, boys, with all the structure in modern hurling now. It's like it's structured for about 65 minutes and then it's pure chaos at the end. And you just have to get the ball in there and try and force something to happen. And that's basically what happened yesterday.
And there's a bit of wildness and a bit of madness. But that little bit of wildness of hitting and hope and hit the square with it, that could be what injects a bit of life into Dublin. Micheál Donoghue has been, in fairness, I think, just trudging along. There hasn't been anything massive coming out of him. And could this be just that injection of energy into them? And equally for Rossi, he said it himself yesterday, he'll be gutted with that, because that was going to put them in a good position. Now it just throws up, like, could we get a surprise result elsewhere? Could one of these do a job on Kilkenny or Galway now? Because, like, Carlo showed yesterday, and yeah, it was Galway's first day out, they started a lot of lads. So you just don't know. Kilkenny are coming out of their match with a couple of injuries. So it just could change the whole dynamic in Leinster now. It puts a premium on the big matches head-to-head.
Well, it makes Leinster that little bit more spicy now as well, to know that, you know, neither Dublin or Wexford have a win here. They're not, like, we don't know who's going to get third. And that's not right, neither of them off for coming first or second. But it does, it adds that bit of spice to Leinster now and makes sure that every game has a big consequence, because score difference could come into this at the end as well, big time.
Yeah, you know, would you believe I was just going to touch on it? And look, people have seen now, Jesus, scoring average of, you know, Wexford and Dublin, they were going to really have to target both the Carlo and the Antrim game to put up scores and to register high scores. But I'd be thinking the opposite now, that both the Galway and the Kilkenny games, when both go to play either of, that they're going to be vitally important for both sides in regards to how they, you know, if they were to come up short or if they were to be beaten by comprehensively, that's going to have a knock-on effect as well. So yeah, I think it's drama. It was nice drama, and it adds to the whole Leinster championship. But from a Wexford point of view, I mean, your game management has to be better. Like, I mean, you can't be losing that game, walking in 2 minutes into injury time, and particularly, you know, they should have been forewarned after Westmeath last year. I mean, they were 15, 16, 17 points up against Westmeath. So, you know, when you're in that position, you're in a commander position, you know, game management has to kick in. You're more experienced lads. You know, you're on about Clare. Someone has to take control of it. Well, most certainly, someone should have taken control of that yesterday and put something in place, some barriers in place, where they were able to close out the match.
Yeah, Eddie, you mentioned there, Kilkenny did pick up a couple of injuries in that huge win over Antrim, a massive, massive win. Owen Cody came off injured, Adrian Mullen came off injured, Owen Murphy came off injured. So that's going to be spicy enough when they play Galway next week. Be interesting to see of those three who would be available. Galway kind of rested a lot of lads yesterday against Carlow.
Yeah, they gave a lot of lads game time.
Got a lot of younger fellas, game time into a lot of younger fellas like Sir Gavin Lee, Declan McLaughlin, and many, many more. I think there was 11 in it at the end there. So that's set up perfect for that game in Pearse Stadium next weekend. Might just touch briefly, Eddie. Unfortunately, my own county went down to McDonough yesterday.
Looked
like they were in a really good spot at halftime, 16-11 up. Only scored 8 after Paddy Purcell got 2 huge goals for Laois. And like, you look at it now, like, Kerry were being written off because Shane Conway's out for the whole McDonagh. They went up to Cusack Park in Westmeath and now beat them by 6 and beat them well. Fiona McAsey, who's heading down your way to play club hurling with O'Loughlin Gales, and who knows beyond next year what colour we might see him in. But like, Offaly play Westmeath next weekend, basically with their 2 seasons on the line. Like, it's mad. I know it's a small bit off Broadway because of everything that was going on. And as I think there's another conversation here, how did we end up in a position yesterday where we are starved of hurling?
We threw
everything on at the same time yesterday, and which meant like I know Offaly supporters, like staunch Offaly supporters that wanted to be in a Moore Park, but also like, we're all hurling fans, boys. We don't want to miss Limerick and Clare. We want to see what's going on in that. So I know a good buddy who was basically had the wireless on, listening to Laois and Offaly. I was trying to watch Limerick and Clare as well. And you're kind of doing neither, really. But like, we shouldn't be ending up in a position like that where, like, how were the Leinster games not on Saturday or the McDonagh games not on Saturday? And we spread it out like.
It's a shocking own goal, Michael, and I suppose coming into it, you're looking at the bigger Munster matches. I hadn't even, you know, the way you're kind of breezing through the fixtures. I just took my eye off that one and saying, and it was Friday evening, you're going, how in the name of God did they do that? Why in the name? Like, I know, okay, one thing, televising the matches, I get the Derry Donegal was a big football match, turned out to be a belter, but like, why in the name of God are you putting them all on at the same time? Because I know lots of lads in Kilkenny. And if there was a match, like, they'd have gone to Walsh Park probably yesterday if they had. Do you know what I mean? They'll go. There's hurling people will go to matches anywhere. But most importantly, Sunday afternoon is sitting down watching the 2 matches, and Saturday is the same now. So why that happened? I'd love to know, like, because it's an absolute massive own goal in my view, massive own goal that there wasn't the option to go up to matches. And it turns out, just on the McDonagh, having a little bit of experience there, Jesus, that's after. They're after 2 results after bucking the trend completely. And I felt awfully what I seen from the league. I said, they're in a good position now going into that McDonagh campaign. I fully expected they'd have just a little bit too much for. But geez, that was even yesterday, like, they got caught with 2 goals at the end. And then for Westmeath to happen. So that's after really tearing up the script in that competition. What you'll see now is the next day, you know, as much as we're talking about the consequence of Munster, that could change the dynamic. Because I'd fancy Westmeath maybe they'll fancy, you know, playing Laois maybe down the line, so they could take points off each other yet. But it's after blowing that competition wide open as well, which is brilliant for the competition.
Yeah, spices it up even more. Mull, I'll go to you for your moment of the weekend.
Look, sort of the performance by Waterford. Baron was back to his brilliant self. Caelan Lyons, Stephen Bennett, Desi on the freeze, Irla Daly. But look, Tommy Welch touched on it in his commentary. Eddie touched on it there earlier. Tied the burger. To see that man, what he's after going through, and to see the performance he put in there yesterday, you know, and a real quiet lad, just goes about his business in a nice, quiet way. But he was just immense yesterday. And, you know, to see him to get through the full 75 minutes, you know, that's an achievement in its own right. And, yeah, it's great for Waterford to have him back. But to have him back playing the way he played yesterday, it bodes well for us going forward for the rest of this month's campaign. So, yeah, that's my moment of the weekend. Toy back on the field and playing so well.
That's unreal to see him back. And just to see him seamlessly come back like that was phenomenal. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder here, Eddie. My moment of the weekend was Jamie Barron's goal after 90 seconds. That, I don't know, looking back at it yesterday, and he soloed through, pierced the hole through the Cork defence, looked like he was going to be caught and be hooked, faked to pass to his right, and gave Patrick Collins the eyes and put it into the top left-hand corner. It was beautiful. And the place erupted, and it just set the tone for what followed. Waterford needed a fast start yesterday, and he needed probably a fast start personally as well. And I just thought he set the tone. But Eddie, I'll let you close it with your moment of the week.
Yeah, no, I'd have to say that was a brilliant moment. It was probably the shot of adrenaline that Davey would have hoped for. I think, you know, sometimes with a puck out, you go, right, they expect us maybe to do this. We'll just fire a few long and see what happens. And guess, you know, Halloran came out behind, caught a lovely ball. But for me, the moment, I look, as a forward, look, there's goals. You always love to see them happening. But I just thought the Shane O'Donnell pirouette, the way he set up that. And even, like, with a lad coming, like, Nash came in hard on him and he still got the pass to hands. And, you know, you contrast that with, like, McCarthy, you know, it was a lovely finish. And you look at O'Dolly, had a great chance. Remember the very first one he got, he just had the ball in the net before he had it in his hands. But I just look on that one, I just thought it was a brilliant finish, and it ultimately teed up that match for what it was going to be. So I'm hard to split it away. I think the Down Hurlers deserve a little bit of recognition too. That's a big result for them, like, you know, and they've toiled away in the background. But so I'm splitting it between the Shane O'Donnell tee up or the assist for the goal and the Down Hurlers.
Great stuff, man. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to the dream team of Eddie Brennan and John Milan for joining me once again. We'll be back next week to go through another chaotic weekend of hurling. It's great to have it back. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review and follow the show on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Thanks a million for listening and goodbye.